My pleasure this morning to introduce our brother Marvin as our speaker. I know that he appreciates your silent prayers, your kind attention as he brings us that message today. So let's remember our brother Marvin as he comes up here where we all don't want to be. We'd just soon be sitting out there, but give him your silent prayers, our brother Marvin.
Thank you, David. We will work over a little, you know, on the church and its beginnings. And so we'll start here in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the 12th chapter. It's one that's familiar to many of the members, but we need to go over them and study them from time to time here. And so I'll start here in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I'll start here on the fourth verse, and we'll read a few verses. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are difference of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit therewith. For to one is given to the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. And so we should remember that this is the Holy Spirit of the Lord. It's referred to as the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, either one. And there are nine gifts that from the blessings of the Holy Spirit to the Lord to His people. And that's what these are. They are different ones, but it is by the same Spirit that these are given for the knowledge of His people. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecies, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same self Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And so this is what Paul is speaking of here. It was the Spirit of the Lord that is given to his people, his church, the Holy Ghost. Now, there's only one way that the Holy Ghost can be conferred, and that's through baptism. As we are baptized, we go down into water. It's like the death of Christ, it's symbolic of it. And then come back up, and then that's the rising of Christ. Well, we become a new person at that time. And it is the Spirit. And after that, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands, by those that have that authority, and only by them. But I'd like to go over here into Hebrews and read here just a little bit. In here, in the sixth chapter, I'll begin with verse 1 here. Therefore, leaving the principles of the gospel of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and in eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. And so these are the ordinances of the church, doctrine of baptism, we are to follow. When we are converted to the Lord, we become baptized, submerged in water by those that have that authority. Then we receive the laying on of hands, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you can't give the gift of the Holy Ghost if you don't have it. Now, Peter, James, and John, and all of them, the 12, and Apostle Paul, and all of them, they were of the early church, and they received that gift. The Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians, they did not have the authority to convert the Holy Ghost. They didn't have that authority, so they couldn't. Yes, they went through the process and of doing that, but you know, they wasn't converting, conferring the Holy Spirit onto those of their churches. Now, it should remember, and I'll read it, in Romans 16th chapter, you know, what the name of the church should be. Romans, in the 16th chapter, I'd like to go to. And then the 16th verse of the 16th chapter of Romans, it says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. This is the name that the early church had. And why did it have that name? Who was it that died upon the cross? It was Christ. That's why they were called the Church of Christ, because of Christ. He's the one that died upon the cross. There's no other name under the King of Heaven that people can be saved by other than that name of Christ. Now, in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, here in the 8th chapter, you know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no variance in the Lord. He's the same forever and ever. He doesn't alter his name. He doesn't alter his ordinances at all down through the time. It is man that changes these things, not the Lord. And so, you know, it says in James that there is not so much as a shadow of changing with the Lord. So much as a shadow of changing. You can look on the aisle here, you can see a number of different shadows on the floor, but there's not that with the Lord. He's the same today, forever, and forever. And so, he give him that. And I'd like to go back into 1 Corinthians again. Again, in the 12th chapter there of 1 Corinthians. And now, as I had read there, the gifts of the gospel, there's 9 of them, which is given to the church. But I want to kind of skip over here a few verses and go over here to verse 28 here in the 12th chapter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, and all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues and do all interpret? No, they don't, everyone. It's severally as it will, the Lord will. To one may be given the gift of faith. To another, maybe the gift of healings. To another, the gift of prophecy. And you know, Apostle Paul was gifted with several of these gifts. And he had, and one person may have several of them, and then another one may only have one of them. It's severally as the Lord wills that he gives to his people. Now, as it says, God set first in the church first apostles. And we don't have a first presidency in our church because that's conflict to what the Lord has given. We have the apostles at the head of the church, 12 of them. And that is just the way it was. He gave to the early church 12 to work among the people and to guide them. But they were to follow Christ in all of these different ways. And so I want to go over here to Revelations, the 12th chapter, I believe it is, I want here. I'll read here a few of the verses. Begin with verse 1 here. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now here, this is referring to the church at that time. This is what John the Revelator seen, and the Lord showed him this. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, the woman. The woman is the church. The moon under her feet, that's the Mosaic Law, which is the lesser law, it's done away with. It is no more. The sun is the glorious spirit of the Lord and of the church in its brightness and its holiness. And verse 2, and she being with child, cried travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, we have those, the 7 heads are the 7 hills of Rome, is what that is. And the red dragon, well, that's pagan Rome, is what that is. Having 7 heads there and 10 horns, you know, that is what the Roman Empire was broken up into was 10 kingdoms. And there was 7 crowns upon his head, and that was the government, different forms of government that it had. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Now this is the evil spirits that Satan comes with. They're cast out of the kingdom of heaven at this time, and you know they're busy working in the world today to blindside the people, to lead them into paths that's not right, to murder, to kill, to destroy, fight, contention. That's what those spirits are good for, and they're doing a good job. Just look at the turmoil we have going on in the world today. In verse 4, and the tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now this man-child is not Jesus Christ. It is the authority. It is the people of the church, the righteous people, the authority, the organization. That is what it was that was caught up to heaven and was gone. Christ, you know, went back to heaven after his crucifixion. Then he appeared to the people here, as it says, 40 days, and ministered to the people. And then he was. But here, this is gone back to heaven that the it church went into apostasy is when it was taken back up into heaven. And so the church was no more down through the dark ages. And so it went into apostasy and it was restored. Well, let's go back into the book of Isaiah, 29th chapter. And we'll read about the church. Well, let me begin with verse 7, a little early there, but in the 29th chapter of Isaiah, verse 7. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her. Now, Ariel is Jerusalem. For our information, it's Jerusalem, Ariel is. Even all that fight against her and her mutations, and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, behold, he is faint. And his soul has appetite, so shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Zion. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, and the prophets and your rulers and seers has he covered. Now this all transpired during the Dark Ages. They staggered, you know, the churches or the people, they run here, they run that way. Things just didn't go well. The church had gone into apostasy. There was no church that come down through the dark ages. It ceased to be. And so that is why they stagger. They're hunting for it. There is the prophets here, they're closed. They don't speak. And you know, their eyes are closed. They don't see as they should. They don't understand. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to the one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. What is this book that it refers to here? Something, you know, where is it? Well, we here in the Church of Christ, we know what it is. It is known as the Book of Mormon. That is the book that it speaks of here. It's delivered to one that is learned, saying, read this. And that's what Martin Harris did. He took it to Professor Anthem in New York and asked him to read some of the script that they had copied off of those records and see if they could read. And they could not read it. It was not legible to them because they were not able to read it as they should. He did read a little bit of it and said it was all some of the Roman literature and some of the Greek literature and so forth among them. But it says here, he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And that's what it was. It was sealed. You know, they were not allowed to take that book, those records, which were metal, is what they were. They were not allowed to take them, so it was on a piece of paper. And then he said he couldn't read them because the book was sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned. Now, this is not learned, is Joseph Smith is the one. I pray thee. And he said, I am not learned. And he wasn't, but you know, he was able to translate those records only by the Spirit of the Lord. That's how he done it. If there's mistakes in the Book of Mormon, it is because the authors that wrote them made those mistakes. The Lord did not correct the mistakes that might be there, as some people think, or in there. And so it is translated by the authority and power of God only. Verse 12 again. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and the works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth this, and who knoweth it? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing's frame say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? And so here we have in the book of Isaiah, in the 29th chapter, speaking of that book, which is the Book of Mormon. There is no other book that has come forth that fulfills this scripture of that. But, you know, we have a problem in the world, among the people of it. And I'll go over here in Revelation, and we'll read there in the last chapter. Chapter 22 of the Revelations. This is what people quote from time to time if you talk with them. Not understanding the scriptures, but there are a lot of them earnest in what they're saying, but they're not understanding some things. In verse 18 it says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Now this is John the Revelator. He's referring to his book, Revelations, as he wrote this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. He which testified these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come Lord Jesus. And so here John writes this here on the end of what he has been given and says, you know, this book. What a lot of people don't understand, they look at this here Bible as the book. They did not at that time have a New Testament Bible like we have today, all in one book. They had the records. Matthew was a separate book. Mark was a separate book. Luke was a separate book. Acts was separate. They were all separate. They was not. They were compiled in the year of 384 by Jerome. That is when the Bible was compiled as we have it today. And so a lot of people, not knowing that, think that when it says here that it's referring to the whole Bible. But you know, you can go back in the book of Deuteronomy and Psalms and that. It says the same thing, you shall not add unto this. It's speaking of men that they shall not add unto the Lord. Look at Deuteronomy. The Samaritans, you know, they followed just what it says there in about the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy. You shall not add to or take away from my words. And so all they have is the five books of Moses. They don't have any more than that. It says you shall not add unto it. And so they don't have any more of the records at all. Well, they misunderstand what is written. Their eyes are blinded. The Lord is speaking that man shall not add to his words. The Lord can add as he wants. Does he not add all of the Old Testament there? Isaiah, that I just quoted out of? You know, that's words of God, not man. And they've been transcribed down through ages until they have come to us today. And so we follow what the Lord has given. Now, as I said, the people of the world, you ask them, and they'll tell you this book, thinking that it's the whole thing, whole thing. But when John wrote it, there was no New Testament all compiled into one book. It was strictly the different books they had. And so Jerome, by the bishop at that time, told him to compile it and put it together. And he did put it together, and we have it. And it's nice that we don't have a bunch of different books piled up this high or whatever. We have it all in one little book here. And we can read it easily and go to it. Now, it's a mystery to the people at Christ's time when he come among them. What's it say? No prophet shall come out of Galilee. Well, you know, Christ come out of Nazareth there. Well, they didn't accept him, did they? Yeah, some of the poor people they did, but as a nation, they didn't accept him because they didn't understand the scriptures. And so they rejected the Lord. They crucified him. But you know, it was meant that he died to break the bands of death so that we can come back into his presence. It was that way. But anyway, I want to go back and read some more in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. We'll start off in the second chapter of Daniel. Now, I'll break into this. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. And he couldn't, when he woke up, he couldn't remember what the dream was. And so he asked the Chaldeans and the wizards and the wise men of their time and if they would tell him the dream that he had. And they couldn't. And so the king told him that he's going to put him to death. And, you know, they're lamenting to the king that the king's asking a very hard thing of them to give what the dream he had. He says, if you tell us the dream, we'll give you the interpretation. Well, the king says, yeah, I know you would give me the interpretation if I'd tell you what the dream was, but he says it's gone. And so, you know, the captain of the guard comes to Daniel and tells him that the commandment is to put them to death because they're part of the wise men. And Daniel goes in and talks with the king for a little bit, and ask him to give him time, and he'd tell him. So the king gives him that time. And so he goes home, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all fast and seek the Lord out. And so that night, Daniel is given a dream and given him an understanding. And so he comes back to the king. I'm going to read a little bit of it here. And I'll start here. Let's start on verse 27 in the second chapter of Daniel. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, shew unto the king?" No, they couldn't. But he's asking him, can they not? No, they couldn't. But what does he say now? "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." Latter days. This is our time. Latter days. And it was restored in the latter days in 1827 when it was restored. But you know, it was organized in 1830. "And maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts come into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king. And thou, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart." See, he was wanting to know what that dream was that the Lord showed him, and he forgot. The Lord took it away from him is what it was. He didn't forget. But the Lord took it away so that he didn't know what it was. "Thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image, this great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thigh of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold, broken to pieces together, and become like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwelleth, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven has he given unto thy hand, and has made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee," now this is a kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar is this head of gold. "And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, and shall be strong enough for as much as the iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest that the feet and toe, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes The feet were part of iron and part of clay. So the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Now, a lot of people don't understand this dream. They misunderstand it, thinking that this all happened at the time of Christ, that. But it didn't. It should be understood that there was only one time in history that this image stood completely. Only one time in history that it stood completely. That was for about a few months in 1829 and 1830 that it stood. The image did not stand anymore after the late 1830s. It was gone. Now, as I say, people try to place this image that it took place at the time of Christ there. But you got to remember that the Roman Empire, it ruled during the time of Christ right on down to about 570 A.D., and then it was no more. It was broken up into 10 kingdoms. That's what the 10 toes is. It was broken up, and that's what it was. And that existed down through the Dark Ages. And so in the latter days, it says, the Lord had set up his kingdom. And that's what that great stone was. It will last forever. What was the name given to it? The Lord said, you shall call it the Church of Christ. Why? He's the one that died upon the cross for your sins. Come to him. That is what he tells us. And so the church was again established at that time, and we are it. There are those that have broken off from us, and they have bought in different beliefs and that, but they're like the people of the world. There's umpteen thousand, as I read, there's over 30,000 organizations of churches in the world today. It says the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so it doesn't change. The same organization, the same teachings, the same name, same authority. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, not man. He put 12 under him to rule over the church, to guide, the counsel, and the help. And so that's where we are at today. His church is still here. Thank you.